How does God speak? What is his message? What is he saying? What does he want all beings on this big ball, planet Earth, to know? What does he want unbelievers and believers to know? Well, the first thing I think that is very important, and we can see it here from Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 19, of course, being one of the most well-known psalms, probably just right behind Psalm 23. Verse 1, many of you probably no doubt know this verse. The Bible says here that in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We can tell from this particular text, as well as from the remaining text, that God has a message for all human beings. And I think the first way we can clearly see in Psalm 19, verse 1, is that God speaks through his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. And then the firmament shows forth his handiwork. It demonstrates openly the works of his hand. You think about that word declare. That's an authoritative message. And God is declaring through the sun, the moon, the stars, the skies, the solar systems and galaxies. He's declaring his glory, how great, how mighty, how infinite he is. God is speaking. He is declaring his glory through the creation. Now, of course, here we know that the heavens and the firmament, you know, I think it's good to start off once for the entire chapter to know that when we're dealing with Psalms, we're dealing with poetry, and not always does poetry rhyme in sound here for the Hebrew poetry. Hebrew poetry rhymes in thought, rhymes in idea. So when he's saying here the heavens, and then he says the firmament, he's not talking about necessarily wanting to distinguish between two different elements. The idea is he wants to communicate one strong idea through repetition. The heavens, the firmament, all that we see through the skies, for that matter, through all of creation, these are declaring God's glory. God is speaking every single day. Now, of course, when we see this text, we may know, and some of you may be familiar, some may not, with the term general revelation. Of course, general revelation or natural revelation is simply that through nature, anybody can see, anybody can understand, anybody can know that God exists. Anybody can look at the skies, and anybody should be able to look and see, wow, all of these planets, all of this order, all of this solar system, all of these solar systems, there's no way that could happen by chance. Somebody has to be behind all of this. This is some type of great thing. Well, that's what we call revelation, but general. Just trying to prove the point that God exists. God is. Not that God is a savior. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on the cross. Just simply general information, general revelation. Now, of course, when we see here the heavens declare the glory of God, you know, we think immediately the heavens, the firmament, the sky, three principal elements, the sun, the moon, the stars. And I like the way how it says here, the heavens declare. You know, literally this Hebrew word means basically to number, to enumerate. So when you think about this, the heavens contain the number of God's glory. How far do the heavens go on? How far does the solar system and galaxies, how far do they go on? Well, there's no number, right? That just keeps going and going and going. In Spanish, we say, no hay fin de eso. There's no end to that. That's how great God's glory is. There's just no number. Well, of course, there is a joke in Spanish that people who speak Spanish actually know the exact number of stars. People who speak Spanish actually know the exact number of stars. I don't know how many of you knew this. And the number of stars is, of course, 50. So, of course, 50 is a play on words because 50 means 50, or you can say 50 without number. So you can tell that you can tell that to your Spanish-speaking friends or use that as a joke. Or little by little, we'll start learning the Queen's Spanish here tonight. Anyhow, Genesis 15:15, God spoke to Abraham, and he said, look now toward heaven and look at the stars, if thou will be able to number them. Of course, I remember going fishing with my dad, sitting there trying to count the stars, and I couldn't even get to 100, and I'm already getting lost. But yet Psalm 147, verse 4, a psalm of praise, the Bible says that he, God, telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. That's how mighty our God is. God is speaking through his creation, things that he made. Now, they are actively and continually saying, God is, God exists. Now, unfortunately, nowadays, more and more people do not want to believe and trust in the idea of creation. But here's some encouraging news. And we'll look at here the first subpoint. How does God speak? Well, number one, we can deduce from verse number two, day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. Basically, we can say God speaks every day. God speaks every day. Day unto day, night unto night. We could just say it in other words, all day, every day. I remember back before I was saved, my friends and I would typically be out late, and 2-3 in the morning, we used to just be wondering, wow, we're hungry, we want to be able to go eat, but we want this particular sandwich. We want this particular breakfast sandwich. And there used to be a restaurant that almost often announced it, all day, every day. Guys, that's what God is like. Just announcing and speaking through his creation all day, every day. For you young folks, that's 24/7. God is speaking through creation. You say, what about at nighttime? He's still speaking through the moon, through the stars, through the galaxies. God is speaking. At daytime, of course, through the sun, through the skies, the magnitude of the heavens. God speaks every day. And then the second part here, not only is God speaking every day, but look at with me at verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. This message that God is declaring, it's common to all people. It's common to all languages. So we can say God speaks every day, and then B, God speaks to everybody. God speaks every day, and he doesn't just speak to a select group of people. He doesn't just single some individuals out. God speaks to everybody. He is speaking to everybody. No speech, no language where their voice is not heard. There is not a person alive that cannot hear this language of creation. The language of God is universal. And he wants to declare himself to all men because he alone is creator of all men. Now, this isn't just an Old Testament concept, right? Romans 1:20 says, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they, human beings, are without excuse. God is speaking every day to everybody, to every human being. And come judgment day, there will not be a person on earth who could say, God, I had no idea. God says, you're wrong. I was speaking every day, and I was speaking to you. Here's all my evidence. Why did you ignore me? God speaks every day to everybody. Let's look at verse 4, and I'm going to see if, not out loud, but let's see if maybe in your mind you can figure out what number 4 is going to be. I've given you a good hint where we're going. Their line, that is their line of creation, is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So God speaks every day to everybody. Their line has gone out through all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. Anybody want to take a guess of what this will say? Say it out loud. Come on. Everywhere. God speaks every day to everybody. Everywhere. I remember seeing not too long ago, I didn't realize this, there is an ATM machine in Antarctica. There is an ATM machine in Antarctica. And there are people, only a certain number of people can live in Antarctica. But there are people, and there is an ATM machine in Antarctica. Now, I don't foresee Antarctica being a bustling or containing many bustling metropolises, you know, in the future. You know, people don't live there right now. But if people should ever move there and Antarctica starts becoming a great place to vacation and to retreat, guess what? God's already there speaking. Because God speaks every day to everybody, and he's speaking everywhere. God speaks through his creation. Even where men aren't right now, God's there speaking. God's glory will be waiting. He's already speaking there. All right. So verse 4. There's a little bit of a blip on the radar here in the end of verse 4 through verse 6. The Bible tells us here that in them, that is in the heavens, he has set a tabernacle for the sun. He basically laid out a setting. And in particular, there's one key element that God wants for human beings to recognize him as deity. And of course, that is the sun. And in verse 5 and verse 6, the sun is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit, his course, unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Guys, God is speaking every day to everybody, everywhere. Every human being needs to get some type of sunlight. Every human being is receiving this general revelation that God exists. God exists. And he has put the sun as like one of the, as the key element. And every day, people are getting the message. And every day, there are thousands and millions and billions ignoring that message. It's kind of a dual thing. I think some may know, maybe a lot may know. In our house, we pray often for our abuelo. We pray often for my dad, my little girl's grandpa. And he is unsaved. And I think, you know, I call him every week to try to reach out to him, to love him, to present the gospel to him, to encourage him to go to church. And I think, if only I could call him more. If only I could talk to him more. And then it hits me, you know what? God is speaking every day to my dad. God is speaking every day. And if my dad, no matter where he goes, in the house, to work, to the store, to a baseball game, God is speaking to him every day. Your loved ones who are unsaved, God is speaking to them. We need to use this, reach out to them and say the creation is declaring, is announcing, it's numbering how great God's glory is. Pay attention. Every day people are getting the message, and every day people are ignoring the message. And here we have the sun. And of all places, you know, I have lots of family unsaved. In Phoenix, the Valley of the Sun. But here the psalmist tells us, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. You know, this week when I was praying for Vacation Bible School, I was thinking of how important that ministry is. And I see little kids. Little kids who are coming to hear gospel messages. Little kids who the Lord says, when he came and sat them on his knee, he said, "For such is the kingdom of heaven." Little kids who don't have all of the information, all of the confusion of humanistic teaching. They don't have all of the baggage of evolution thought. These young kids, young impressionable minds, are so open to receive this first and important message that God exists. And yet as people get older and people start to see so much false information from supposed great scientists, from supposed great thinkers, and they start to put doubt and plant doubt in their minds. And as people get older and older, they start saying, no, wait a minute. I don't buy that. There's no such thing as a creator. What about this? And they start questioning all kinds of simple, silly things just to get an out, just to get an excuse to not accept the fact that God is speaking through creation. I praise God that we can have a Vacation Bible School. And I pray that all you Sunday school teachers, I thank you, number one, first. My little girl is, when we have Bible time at night, my little girls, they are growing so much in the Lord, as I'm sure so many kids are here. For you Sunday school teachers, thank you. But let's remember to keep hammering home the truths of Scripture, because they are important at a young age. Because as life just goes on and on, people just tend to get harder and harder toward the gospel. But God is speaking through creation. God is speaking through creation. So, no matter if you are educated or if you're an illiterate, God has a message for you. He exists, and the proof is up there. Whether you're rich or whether you're poor, God has a message for you. He exists. Whether you're handsome or whether you're ugly, God exists, and he has a message. Whether you're white or black, God has a message for you. He exists. Whether you're communist or capitalist, God has a message for you. He says, I'm up here. I exist. Because of this, all men are without excuse. The sad thing is, this glorious voice of God going forth all day, every day, saying, I exist, and people ignore it. People ignore it. Now, there may be some people who say, you know what? I believe that. I believe God exists. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, all right, I believe God exists, but what else do we know about him? Well, that takes us to our second point. Because not only does God speak through creation, but in verses 7 through 10, we see God speaks through his word. God has a more specific revelation. We can almost think of it as like a funnel, right? Something very big, something very general. And then as a funnel would, so to speak, go down and become more narrow, this is how God's revelation is. God's revelation is very general, very specific. I exist. But now here's more information about me. Because if I'm looking to see the message of salvation written in clouds in the sky, I'm going to be a waiting person. But God says, no, there's more now. I have a specific message. Now, where do we find that? We find that in his word. Verses 7 through 10. I'm going to read these texts. The Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You know, we can look at this and we'll see, you know, the different ideas communicating one key truth. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. And some commentators can try to go through and explain the different meanings of each of these different sayings associated with the information that follows. But guys, remember, this is Hebrew poetry. And we're not trying to rhyme it in sound. We're trying to rhyme in what? We're trying to rhyme in thought, in idea. And here the psalmist is communicating one idea. Now, what would we say all this means? The law of the Lord, the testimony, it's all pointing to one element. What is that? That would be, of course, the Bible. The Bible, right? God speaks through his word. God speaks through the Bible. Now, some people might say, well, wait a minute, man. How do we know there really shouldn't be an emphasis on the different elements? Let's just start with the first example, right? The law of the Lord is perfect. And what does it say? What does it do? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. What's the law of the Lord? First five books, right? The law of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I remember there's a brother here that was going and asking us over there in the Spanish ministry if we had any, what we call el pan de vida, el Evangelio según San Juan. It's the bread of life, just basically the Gospel of St. John, the little booklet. Based on this verse, I should say, why do you want those, brother? You can't lead anybody to Christ with that. The Gospel of John will never convert a soul, right? The law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord converts the soul. Or for those of you maybe who have memorized the Romans Road, you know, I want to lead people to Christ. I want to memorize the Romans Road, take them through step by step and show them, you know, what sin is and show them what the wage of the sin is and show them what the gift of God is and then show them that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's all in vain because the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is what converts the soul, right? You got to take them to Genesis. Got to take them to Leviticus. Of course, we'd say that's ridiculous, right? The idea here, I think we know this, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, statutes, they're all just synonyms, so to speak, trying to communicate the single idea of the Bible. So what can we say about God's word, God speaking through his word, God speaking through the Bible? Well, we can go back and we can say that God's word, number one, God's word instructs people. God's word instructs people. Well, how does it instruct them? What does God's word tell us about them? What does God's word tell his people? Well, I think one easy one we can pick out here is that God tells us who he is. In his word, God tells us who he is. Anybody see a glaring difference in verses 7, 8, 9 about all of this and then what we saw in verse 1? Maybe I could just tell you again. The heavens declare the glory of what? The heavens declare the glory of what? Everybody say it. Come on. Heavens declare the glory of God. Now, what do we have here on this list? The law of the Lord. Testimony of the Lord. Statutes of the Lord. You know what the Bible teaches us? The Bible teaches us who God is. And also, the Bible, it instructs us in that manner, teaching us who God is, but also the Bible transforms people. Instructing us of who God is, it makes me remember of how God spoke unto Moses to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And then Moses said, well, you know, when I get to there, what should I say unto them? What should I say is the God, who should I say is the God of our fathers? What is his name? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Basically, that's the form of Jehovah, Yahweh. God's word proclaims who he is, his name. It tells us who he is. Now, of course, the idea of the Lord has that idea of the covenant name of God, that he's the God of salvation, the God of the promise, the God who's made an eternal pact with man that if you believe in my son, Jesus Christ, you will have eternal life. God's word instructs people. That's how we can see who God is, by his name. We can also see what God's word is like. It's perfect. You know, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Think about that. It doesn't lack anything. It's complete. So many times people want to say, well, you know, here's more books. You need to read this other book. We got everything we need in the Bible. I remember I had been praying for opportunities to witness even more than at work. And no sooner was I praying than some Mormons show up at my door. And of course, we started talking. I just wanted to see where they're at. And of course, they started to talk to me. They said, do you know anything about the Bible? I said, well, yeah, I think I know a little bit. What do you think about the Bible? And they started to say, you know, this and that. I said, well, great. That's the Bible sounds like it's the complete word of God. They say, well, that's where we fall into error. Well, and I think, guys, come on. The law of Jehovah, the word of the Lord is perfect. It's complete. It lacks nothing. Everything I need for my spiritual growth, everything I need to lead people to Christ is right in here. And it's for everybody. It's for any person in any circumstance. Now, the course we see here, the second part, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's fixed. Somebody can build their life. It's so sure, like a sure foundation. Verse 8, statutes of the Lord are right. You know, they're just. They don't favor certain groups over other groups. They are just. They're correct. They're fair. The precepts of Jehovah, the commandment of the Lord, is pure. It has no defects. I remember many years back, my wife and I just had celebrated our 10-year anniversary, but many years back, looking for that ring. How many of you guys remember that search for the ring? And I mean, in a short span of time, I had to become almost an authority on diamonds. Because I didn't want to get burned and pay too much. In order that I want to think I was getting a deal, thinking I'm paying too little, and end up with a junk diamond. But even as I started to study this thing out, I said, wow, even the best of the best of the best diamonds, you know what? They have flaws in them. They have flaws in them. They may be one little speck or one little, and you know what? God's word is pure. No flaws. No defects. It's more beautiful than the most precious diamond. The fear of the Lord, verse 9, is clean. It's pure and it's clean. So clean that it will cleanse you in reading it. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Absolute truth. So we know that God's word instructs people about who God is. It instructs people what his word is like. Also, it transforms people. I remember many years back, unsaved, in the world. By God's grace, he had preserved my life. One day, my mom decided to give me a Bible. I took that Bible, and she said, please read it. I said, whatever, Mom. Sure. And out of respect for her, I took it. And it went right on my bookshelf in my bedroom. I never read it. A year or two went by, and I was reading other books. I was reading encyclopedias. I was reading dictionaries. I was reading just different kind of books because I wanted to be a smart, wise criminal. And then I thought, you know, that Bible has been around for many, many years. That Bible, in some of these books that I'm reading, encyclopedias, I'm seeing names here that are referring back to the Bible. I'm seeing archaeological discoveries based on that Bible. Ah, what do you know? I'll give it a try. I'll pick it up and read it. And I started to read it. And when I saw stuff in there that was convicting me, I said, no, I'm done. Put it down. But then I'd go back to reading it. And then I'd go back to reading it right there in the privacy of my own bedroom. Until one day, I remember seeing in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And the thought just hit me. God forgives people. God can forgive people? No. And so then I started to study out who this Christ was. And I remembered, you know, being a kid. And I was in a Christian school when I was little. And I remembered some of the sermons I heard. I remembered some of the teachings I had. And just reading the Bible. And I really started to consume it. Until one day I realized, I need to stop doing what I'm doing. I need to trust Christ because I need to be forgiven. And I called my mom right there from that same bedroom. I said, Mom. She said, yes. She had no idea I was reading that Bible. I said, Mom, I want to go to church this Sunday. And all I heard was crash. My mom dropped the phone. I waited a little bit. I was a little bit worried. I hope my mom didn't go with the phone. And then she answered like, well, I had plans to go do something on Sunday to go visit with so-and-so. I said, no. If you'd like to come with me, that's great, but I'm going. And she said, absolutely. She said, how did it all start? Well, simply because my mom gave me a Bible. And I praise God that this word transformed my life. Transformed. Radically transformed my life. Because God speaks through his word. And the Bible still works. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. And of course, in the context there, the importance is on the word of God going forth and spreading and growing in hearts. The wicked has to forsake his way because God's word is transforming him. Well, God's word instructs people. God's word transforms people. But there's one more thing here that we see. Verse number 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. This is where we would say, not only does God's word instruct people, not only does God's word transform people, but God's word satisfies people. Are you here today and life just seems frustrating? Maybe work seems impossible. Maybe you're a student in school and you just say, man, I'm not looking forward to going back next semester, or this is just not what I'm expecting in life. There's got to be more to this. I want to let you know that God's word satisfies. God's word satisfies people. More to be desired are they than gold. How many people live in the U.S. and are unsatisfied? You know, there was a report I read the other day saying that in the U.S., which of course is, by God's grace, still the preeminent nation, we are still a prosperous nation. I've traveled to many other countries, and I've seen the conditions there. I love the USA, and we are so blessed here. Yet even here in the U.S., we have a higher rate of depression than any other country. He said, how can that be? Well, because people are looking to things. People are looking to gold. People are looking to silver for satisfaction. Not that I want to give much respect, or we'll just leave it at that, to the person, but according to the old rock song, right? I can't get no satisfaction. Apparently, he can't get no education either. The fact of the matter is, if you're looking for satisfaction anywhere else, you're doomed to fail, because God's word satisfies. God's word satisfies. More to be desired is God's word than gold, sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. So guys, we're going down and we're getting narrower into the funnel. God speaks general revelation through creation. God speaks, if you listen and you've heard and you see and you know and you understand, God exists. I want to know more. God says, well, I have a word for you. I am the Lord. I want to tell you who I am. I want to transform your life, and in me you'll find satisfaction. Now, even more specifically, general, specific, but more specifically, we go verses 11 through 13. 11 through 13. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. But now what do we like? God speaks through creation. God speaks through his word. Number three, we see God speaks to his servants on an individual basis. That is, it's good to listen to sermons on sermonaudio.com. It's good to come to church and listen to sermons. But you need to be picking up your Bible. If God has saved you, transformed you, and he wants to satisfy you, you need to be picking up your Bible and reading. And God will speak to you in his word. The psalmist says, and notice with me, I mean, if you have a Bible and you like to write in it, or maybe if you just want to take notes on the side, look here in verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And then he says, verse 12, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy, verse 13, servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me individually. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent. It's a pretty personal message, right? God has a personal message, and he wants to speak to you through his word, because God speaks through creation. He speaks to all men, everywhere, every day. God also speaks through his word. He instructs people. He transforms people. But now to transform people, to those who are truly his servants, to those who are his children, he has a message for you. We need to be in the word. Now, what does God say when he speaks to a servant? Well, when he speaks to a servant, he protects his servants. He protects his people through his word. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You know, I like the way this idea of moreover. I think the New American Standard also has moreover. In Hebrew, it's just one word, gam. I remember on a flight to Tel Aviv, the stewards and stewardesses, you hear that word over and over. Vogam nashim, vogam nashim, vogam oladim, vogam. And I'm like, gam, enough with this word. And this, and one more thing, and one more thing, and one more thing. And this is how we get, in verse 11, the psalmist is saying, one more thing. God has spoken through, God speaks through creation. God speaks through his word. And one more thing, God speaks to his servants. So why do you say, Manuel, here that, you know, he speaks and protects his servants through his word? Well, look at me, please, here in verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant what? He is warned. He is warned. He's admonished. He's protected. Danger. The more I get in God's word, the more I know what I need to be aware of. Because let's face it, on my own, I'm not going to make good decisions. If I try to go through life thinking, okay, I can figure things out, not going to happen. Verse 12 even reinforces this, right? Who can understand his errors? Maybe somebody says, you know what? I can do it. No, you can't. Verse 12 says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults, from sins that I don't even know are there. So that way we see God is wanting to protect his servants through the reading of the word. So now, this is just proving to us that God's people are incapable and unconscious of many sins. We're incapable of protecting ourselves against sin. We know that, right? Who can understand his errors? And then also verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. I like the way this says it in Spanish. It's the idea of sins that I fall into basically because of my pride. You know what the idea of pride is? It's the idea of what we see in Jeremiah 17 when he says, cursed is the man that trusteth in his flesh. And then a few verses later, Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But also in Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Guys, God protects his servants through his word. You know, we think of the famous text in Psalm 119, right? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a person cleanse his way? Of course, how? By taking heed thereto, by paying attention, by getting in the word of God. God speaks to his servants through the word. God protects his servants. Second part of this. Not only does God protect his servants, but also God blesses his servants. Now, if we didn't have your attention before, like, you know, I hate hearing about sin. God blesses his servants also through his word. Now, that gets our attention, right? Everybody wants a nice life. Everybody wants to be blessed. But what is biblical blessing? You know, in this context, through the word of God. You know what biblical blessing is? A victorious Christian life. Verse 13, let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be, what does it have there? Upright. Oh, I was hoping for wealthy. Or, oh, then shall I have that new car that I want. Or, oh, then shall I have that addition I want in my home. No. Then shall I be upright. That's how God blesses. Not only that, but, and I shall be what? Innocent from the great transgression. God blesses his servants, and he protects us. I don't know about you. Some of my greatest moments are when I'm in the car, and I have the CD player, and it's just some good hymn that I just, it's just a blessing, and I know I've been in God's Word, and things are just, I mean, I'm being blessed through the reading of Scripture, and I'm just singing out loud. Now, it is a little embarrassing when people, the stoplight see you. And I'm just thinking, praise God, it's good to be in Christ. It's good to be victorious and to be walking with the Lord. That's the blessing God wants for you. That's where it's just joy, what we would call joy unspeakable and full of glory. And God has a message for you in his word. So how does that work? Like I say, we can't just simply depend on a Sunday sermon and then Monday through Saturday ignore it. We have to get in the Word. We want to be protected because God will protect us. He'll instruct us. Wisdom calleth out in the streets, Proverbs 1:20. We know that. Wisdom will show us what's wrong, what's right. It'll give us discernment. God will protect us when we get in His Word, get in His Word, get in His Word. And then we'll have the blessing of a victorious, upright, victorious Christian life, walking closely with our Lord. God speaks to his servants. He has a message for me. He has a message for you and you and you, not the y'all. Individually, God has a message for you. And he wants to speak to his servant in his word. You know, one of the great things about sermons is the application part. It's very easy to be informed and to say, okay, I learned a lot of things today at church. But it's not enough to be simply hearers of the word, right? We have to be doers. And one of the reasons I like this text is because the application is right there for us in verse 14. You know, in light of God speaking through creation, and then we get down a little bit more to the funnel. God speaks through his word, transforming lives. And for those who are his servants, God says, I have a message for you. You know, I speak to you. I can warn you. I can protect you. I can bless you. God speaks. God speaks. God speaks. So what do you think would be the proper application? Right? Verse 14, we have it. Let the words... Let the words of my mouth, guess what that is? How I speak. In light of seeing how God speaks, I need to change the way I think. So let's get into the application part. The application, of course, would be, because the Lord is my strength and redeemer, I must speak and think beautifully. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. That's a redemptive name of God. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Once again, we cannot do this on our own. But guess what? If the Lord is your strength, you have the help you need. If the Lord is your redeemer, you can do this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, basically what I say outside, what everybody hears, what everybody knows, and what's on the inside, what God knows about me. Let these outside words, let these inside thoughts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So because the Lord is my strength and my redeemer, Christian, you must speak. I must speak, we must speak, and think beautifully. Think of creation. Going back to that first example, right? Creation. The wonder of it all. The wonder of the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the organization that went into all of this. And God says, this is how I speak. We need to be careful with our words and not just shoot from the hip, right? Sometimes at work, my buddies and I, we start talking about whatever, you know, football, or they try to talk about basketball, or maybe we're talking about boxing. And typically, some guys will bring up, you know, so-and-so commentator said this. Oh, yeah, I like so-and-so commentator. Man, he just tells it like it is. He just says it as that. And I just think, wow, what does the Bible say about a person who just speaks his mind? A fool uttereth his own mind. That must not be my way of thinking. That must not be my way of speaking. I must speak and think beautifully. God put order and thought into the universe, into creation. I must put order and thought into the way I speak and think. Not only that, but number two, because the Lord is my strength and my redeemer, I must speak and think biblically. Right? God speaks through creation in a very organized, clear-cut way. But also I need to speak biblically, because God speaks through His Word, I need to communicate that. You know one of the best ways to speak and think biblically? To get in the Word. To get in the Bible. I think of the example in Acts 4. In Acts 4, Peter and John were preaching to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees said, wait a minute, these are unlearned and ignorant men. These are some backwoods folks, right? These are some unlearned guys, and look at how they're talking, look at how they're breaking Scripture down. And you know what? Eventually, they say in Acts 4, verse 20, one of my favorite verses, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. It gets in us, and we just can't help but speak it. The Word of God. They were speaking biblically. Friends, brothers, sisters in the Lord, speaking biblically, sharing Scripture, talking with other believers, encouraging verses, all right? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. A word fitly spoken. We can do that. We can exhort one another while it is called today, but also biblically speaking to unbelievers, sharing with them the truth of Scripture. Not sharing with them whatever Oprah Winfrey says this week about how to get self-help. No. We speak biblically. We share with them what the Word of God has to say, because the Word of God alone can transform people. The Word of God alone can instruct people in this way. The Word of God alone can satisfy people. We must speak and think biblically. When we're in our homes, husbands, wives, we must speak and think biblically. Not flying off the handle. Not trying to speak or put down in a sarcastic tone. No, we speak and think biblically and beautifully. When we instruct our kids, right? We want to rear them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But not in a way that will provoke them to wrath. We must speak and think beautifully and biblically. I see this message. I see God has spoken through creation. God has spoken through His Word. I get in the Word. God is speaking to me. And in light of all this, I must say, and you must say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, based on this information, be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Our Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness to us. We thank You that You are our strength to help us to speak and think biblically. You are our Redeemer to help us speak and think biblically. Without redemption, without a redeemed heart, without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we just cannot do this. Lord, if there be one person here today that perhaps is without Christ, still in darkness, And maybe he or she or they see that you exist. I pray that through your word they would see that your word, that the Bible is perfect and it converts the soul. It transforms. And I pray that if maybe they're struggling and they're going through life and they realize and know that life just seems to have no apparent meaning, I pray that you would reveal to them through the word tonight that you can instruct and you can satisfy. I pray that you would work in their heart to show them salvation, their need to turn from their ways unto the Lord. Not just a general turning to God, but to the Lord, who is the Lord of salvation. For those of us, Lord, who do know you, who have been redeemed and transformed, and you are our Redeemer, we pray, Lord, that you would be our strength as you speak to us daily in your word. May we see and treasure your word as more precious than gold. May we see and treasure your word as sweeter than honey. And may we seek it daily so that, Lord, you would help us to avoid sin. That you would teach us, Lord, how to hate that which is evil and love that which is good. I pray that you would protect your people, that you would help us, Lord, and that we would be able to live a blessed life, one that is upright, one that is innocent, one that is walking closely and closely with you. I pray, Lord, that we would be in your word, and that now, Lord, in light of seeing all that you've said, and that it would impact our vocabulary, and that we would speak and think biblically. God, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you would bless us as we apply these truths of Scripture. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen.